Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the Professional Insights Podcast, Season 6.
Did you say Season 6 or 7?
Yep, season
no,
six.
It's
no
it's,
Season
it sound
6.
Like six.
Okay. And it's like it's like episode 22 from our latest invoice, so I know.
Woo. Is it episode? I just don't know.
I say 24.
I don't know anymore. Okay. Well, my name's Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
Josh Bond.
And Trevor Lindy.
So, gents, okay.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy belated Father's Day.
I thought they changed the name.
How was it?
Jesus.
Only in your mind there, Collins.
Only in your mind there, Collins.
It doesn't matter if it's in my mind.
So what?
It's in your mind, your heart.
Technically speaking, that
day everyone have
for after Valentine's Day. It's the guy's reward for 30 days after
you
Valentine's
can have multiple of those days.
You can.
And just so you know, just so you know, 6 dynamite ribeyes, 10-ounce ribeyes at Costco for $80.
That's good.
They are so good.
Pretty good.
We've done it twice now.
Have you guys down in the sort of for anyone that's tuning in across the country and South Africa, which is
Zimbabwe, Panama,
Madagascar, actually, Madagascar is moving up.
We're going to Panama for New Year's this year.
Hey, listen,
my Father's Day bracelet.
Jeff, just to say, like, your wife's Taiwanese, and our numbers in Taiwan are not growing. So.
No.
Tell her to pitter patter.
She's not working her network there.
Yeah.
Nope, she's not.
Come on,
Jill. Better step up Taiwan numbers.
Yep. Come on, Jill. Let's go. Taiwan is
should be promoting that.
Madagascar is through the bloody roof right now with growth.
How's Finland and Jamaica?
Yeah. Jamaican, they're pretty chilled out right now. Yep, they're good. They're good. They're just steady. Consistent. Right.
I think our podcast logo in Madagascar is like a lemur on it or something like that. One of those
probably.
Lemurs. It's killer.
I don't know.
Go Madagascar.
Go Madagascar.
It's a purple lemur.
So everyone's Father's Day was good? Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I had a great Father's Day. Spent it with the family.
Couldn't get any better. That's and we won our baseball game.
Nice.
He's got a mug. Look at that.
And
that
Trevor's always happy when he's got balls close to his mouth. You can see.
Jesus.
Look at the smile on his face. He's trying not to.
His 9-year-old got him that.
His 9-year-old got him that as a gift, everybody, ladies and gentlemen.
My daughter made me this bracelet.
Old age got him that for a gift.
Another one. The other one made me... The younger one made me...
it's an inch a decade they drop.
A video, which was nice.
Hey, an inch a decade they drop. It's scientific proof.
An inch a decade? Scientific. Starting at what age?
10.
Wow!
They drop at 10. And then 20,
the
they sprout.
Low? Do they whistle to and fro? Can you tie them in or not?
Jesus. We've already done the Scrotox episode, gents. Mm.
Well, we need to do that, so we
that's right.
stop sitting on them.
Hit up Olenka.
She was at the 40 under 40 too, eh? She was a recipient.
Nice. Yes, she was.
Good honor. Well deserved.
Much
Scrotox exclusively.
Much deserved.
They were giving Olenka, shots out at the 40 under 40.
Olenka, friend of the show. Guest.
Shout out.
Future sponsor.
Part owner of Clariderma. Yeah. Clariderma should be a sponsor.
Your Father's Day, boys. What'd you get? What'd you do?
Ate steak.
Nice. Steak.
Played coach baseball. Went golfing with my dad on Saturday.
Nice. We had a barbecue.
I went, you know what I did, boys? And it's just a family pastime. We've done it for the last now 2 years in a row, but we did it. Let me just see.
I just looked up pastimes 3 years in a row. 2 years is not a pastime.
Okay. It will be because we've done it every single year when my grandfather was alive. And that was back in 07 was the last time we did it before we resurrected it after the pandemic. And that's go betting on the ponies at the 40-area racetrack.
Yeah, we did that last year. Did you win?
Love it.
I heard they took on $1.5 million.
Yeah, that's yeah. The racetrack made. Huge. yeah, no, it's
he's in the top right corner.
we went there.
Curry's in my top right corner.
Well, I go. lost $100, but it was good.
Would you lose it?
I had a blast.
Would you bet? You just bet to win?
No. I usually do a trifecta box.
Ooh, all right.
So
it's fun there, though. It's hot.
What?
It's hot.
You got to get one of those big.
They go to the grandstand. Yeah.
You got to get one of those big hats or big
hats and horses.
I just love that entire. I just love the racetrack.
I think you've said that before, Curry.
Yeah, I'm Scottish. I'll bet on anything, really. Let's be honest.
See, I'm Scottish too, and I bet on nothing.
Yeah.
Well, there's two types of Scots.
Other end of Scots.
Apparently. Yeah. Guess I'm an English Scot, so I guess that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Curry and I we're out with a few boys too, eh? We had a good golf, a couple of days of golf.
What courses did you play?
We played Laura Bay again.
Oh, I love that course.
Which was beautiful course. Laura Bay. And it's under construction, so it's only going to get better. It wasn't terribly, wasn't the greatest time.
A lot of their sand traps were like not playable.
Yeah.
Curry, you would know.
A course that's gone right downhill, go to Pelham Hills in Welland now. Ooh. Overgrown weeds everywhere and all that.
Really?
Oh, it's terrible.
What was the other one? It was an Owen Sound. It was a nice one as well. It was a really old, it was an older course, but it played like a very northern course. So I liked the day. I think I played well on it. I think
we shot minus one, best ball, 9 holes for my boys.
Nice. That's not bad at all.
9 holes.
That doesn't matter.
My dad's a pretty good shot. And you know what? My shoulder's so messed up. Like I got an ultrasound yesterday to find out what's going on. It actually helped my game because I could not overswing because it hurt when I overswing. So yeah. I was shooting right down the middle the whole time. It was great.
That's awesome.
Lesson learned, eh?
No.
There you go.
Grip.
Nine holes a year is good for me. Royal LePage tournament I'll do. We missed the Niagara home builders.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do Duffer's Day.
Duffer's Day, yeah.
Looking forward to
that. We got to throw that out there once.
I don't think they put it out there yet. They haven't told us the date yet.
No,
usually September, I think.
Yep.
I'm going to see if I can do some figure eights again in the fairway.
I was already, Monty and I went and played a round on Monday with a couple of his buddies out at Whirlpool. And yeah, we chatted.
Nice.
Chatted about Duffer's Day and being a good time and looking forward to doing it again this year.
How are you guys coming on that? How's your ticket? You got to be getting closer now.
12 weeks waiting.
For what?
That's for Terry, right?
HCRA.
For his Terry.
Oh, you're going to love the stress. Ooh, it's the best. It's amazing right now.
For anyone that's they don't know it, a mutual friend of all of ours, Monty, and Trevor are getting their Terrion license to build custom homes.
So I'll soon be able to say, you know, for those, I'm a mortgage broker, but I'm also a home builder, just like Jeff does, the real estate agent, but I'm also a home builder.
I'm not a mortgage broker.
No, I said, you say I'm a real estate agent, but I'm also a home builder. So I'll be able to be part of that conversation.
It'd be cool.
I don't
for those of you
that
don't know.
I don't say that. I slip. I'm a builder on everything I do. Like when I go to McDonald's, I have a Big Mac. So I'm a builder, by the way.
Yeah.
So I don't slip.
You didn't stack those patties.
I don't mention properly. I'm a real estate agent at all anymore. I just went straight to builder. I've taken that off my card.
Oh, is that what it is?
Actually, now it's developer. I just say I'm a developer. But technically, I'm not because you've got to make money before you can call yourself that. I haven't yet, even though that's on market right now. Right now, I'm a professional debt gainer.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good at that too.
Oh, yep. I am blowing it out of the water, accruing debt right now. And the best thing is when if you notice my last name now, I've changed it. I've actually adopted a new last name. It's that every time they make these amazing decisions, it costs me more money.
Yep. Fubach. Is that Jeff Fubach?
Fubach, and I forgot the little little dot at the end of the C, but it is Jeff Fubach now. It's my new name. I'll make it an official. So when I go and apply for permits with municipalities, I can say it's an F-U-B-O-C.
Can we just call you Fubach from
do it
instead of Collins? Yeah.
Fubach and no. Fu-P-C.
Have you guys been watching any sports? Like, what sports? Anything?
No, well, the Jays are just crushing me right now, so I've lost interest on them already.
Me too.
Did you see the record on them? They are, I think,
for June?
500 and 500 over their last 1,000 games. So they are, boom, as mediocre as you can get.
Right down
the Atkins plate. Needs to go.
Sounds like the Maple Leafs.
I love them. Love everything they're doing. Me too. I'm such a diehard. They could hire Mark Bergevin, and I think he's the best GM in the world. I don't care. Dubas is dead to me. Trey Living, Boston Pizza. Boom. Let's go, baby. Make some signings, though.
Does Boston Pizza want to maybe be a sponsor of our podcast?
Oh, they should. And the Maple, and the Maple Leafs.
Beauty of sports right now. How about the Live Golf PGA Tour?
Oh, that's good news to talk about. That's interesting. That's Monahan interesting. Guy just completely looking like the world's biggest dick in the world right now.
All of those
guys. Has he resigned yet or what? Has he resigned?
Huge. Big fuck.
Has he resigned? I heard that was the most heated player meeting ever for the PGA Tour when they did that.
Oh,
I'm not a big
like
golf fan.
Well, because for an entire year leading up to it, he
but you're a businessman.
He basically warned every single professional golfer that if they joined the LIV, they would be banned from all these tournaments. They except for the Masters.
We won't take Saudi money. It's not good open, money. Yeah. It's blood money. Blah blah blah. The check got too big. We got to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. The only
everybody's
the
got
only
their price.
Silver, the only silver lining is. The PGA Tour players will be getting a portion of that purse, and the LIV players won't be. But the thing that does suck is if you're a player, let's say it's the top 200 that make it in. And basically they were sent a note not to ask anything about the merger. Okay. Wow. So our producer, Rook, so Cryer got media credentials just for everyone that's listening. And basically we're told every media outlet at the Canadian Open was told not to talk about the LIV merger or they'd get their media credentials revoked. That's kind of crazy. But
well, we can talk about it. They're not going to take our credentials.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about it because here's the thing. Like, how would you like it?
Give us a thumbs up, Rook.
There's a whole bunch of people that left, got a massive payday, and are now allowed to come back into the fold. And what they don't know is if you're like the 225th golfer in the world and you got in because these players left, like Dustin Johnson, you know, Brooks, all these people, right? Yep. They now come back and they get their world ranking placement. So that knocks you out of the contention. So you can't, now you got to.
Well, and the big boys who said, no, I don't want that 200 million. That's not right. I'm not going to do that. So the other guys left. Right. They got to keep it. They come back. And then those guys just lost a $200 million payday for nothing. Because PJ said, that's not right. We don't like Saudi money. But you know what? We're going to do it anyways. So screw you and your 200 million. It's just pure greed. That's all it looks like right now.
See what I love? Oh,
welcome to the world. Welcome to the world we live in.
Oh, it's just we don't care where we get the money. Just write that check, baby. It looks disgusting to me.
Right. When Phil Mickelson went over, like Phil Mickelson's a favorite for a lot of people, right? And you see him go from PGA, and he's had an issue with the PGA Tour for multiple years, right? Like issues with changing rules and things like that. So he was pretty upset, and all of a sudden it's like, it makes me think of like Spider-Man, where he goes from being like this clean cut, well-shaven PGA Tour player. He goes over to LIV Golf. He's wearing like all black. He's got stubble on the, you know, the face and everything.
He's like the NWO from wrestling when Hogan went from All-American badass.
There you go, right?
All-American 100%. Guy, he went to the NWO.
Absolutely.
He's a badass now. But he got paid.
Tough. You know?
Yeah?
He's tough.
Well, that's it, right? Like,
well, I heard one of the soccer, was it Cristiano Ronaldo, whatever?
Messi.
I don't know.
Messi.
Somebody went over to the Live. To, no, Miami. Messi went to MLS.
Messi came to MLS. So
yeah.
Ronaldo went to some Saudi Arabian thing, too, I think. Yes. He got a big payday.
He got a big payday.
Messi was supposed to go there.
Well, and they were talking about it. You watch, these Saudis are going to try to buy, like, what if they go to the NHL and say, I'll give you $4 billion for an NHL team? What are the NHL owners going to say?
Sold.
Major League Baseball. NFL.
Sold. Sold.
Well, NFL, you probably have to go $10 billion to get a team now.
Sold.
But all those owners say, yeah, we'll stroke that check. We'll take
it.
There's
more
money,
man.
Check.
There's more money. They're building a fucking, they're building a city there, man. They're building lakes.
Well, here's
the Emirates and shit like that, man. Like they've got oil money.
They are honestly that family, with the exception of individual, which would be Putin. They say that those families are trillionaires. Like they are absolute trillionaires. That they have more money that they don't even know what to do with, because it's all staying in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia or the kingdom of Qatar, or it doesn't really matter.
That's play money to them. It's play money.
Putin, they say, is the richest man in the world by a country mile.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The
dirty
he's
money,
got,
man.
Yeah, he's got dirty money. Yeah.
He should buy an NHL team.
Yeah.
He should buy nukes. And just jump off a bridge. That's what he should do.
Yeah, I just find it, honestly, I'm not the biggest golf fan to begin with. I don't mind golfing once in a while, but the greed just disgusts me right now.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, like, listen, if a player wants to get paid, then they should be able to go and get paid. And if it's competition, it's competition. But don't sit there as the commissioner of the PGA Tour and lambast them for taking dirty money, and then literally a year later go back on all of your consequences and do a merger with
take
LiveGolf.
Dirty money.
Yeah, and take dirty money. Like, you're a complete hypocrite. So, I don't know.
But greed. Talking about greed, did you hear about this sub?
Yes. Hey, rookie. Can you put up that photo? That's a topic of conversation right now, is the missing sub. Like, there, imagine, okay, so five
this
people
is the
are
CEO.
In the sub. That's the CEO. He's down there right now as well.
Do we know for sure it's the CEO?
That's the CEO, yes. Okay, well, yeah, Rook, if you've got a video, let's
play, roll it.
I'm the Brandon, CEO you want to let us know what this video is? Let's take a look at Titan.
There it is. He's running us through the stuff.
So we're coming into the sub. This is the only toilet available on a deep diving submersible. Best seat in the house. You can look out the viewport. We put a privacy screen in, turn up the music, and it's very popular. We have our control screen here, our sonar screen here, and we can put any image we want in the back. We've taken a completely new approach to the sub design, and it's all run with this game controller and these touch screens.
No.
So if you want to go forward, you press forward. If you want to go back, you go back, turn left, turn right, go down, go up. And it's Bluetooth, so I can hand it to anybody. And it's meant for a 16-year-old to throw it around, and super durable. We keep a couple of spares on board just in case. This is the second year we've been out to the Titanic. We went out in five 8-day missions. We did about 10 dives to the wreck site of the Titanic, and we did an extra dive on an undiscovered reef that we found. Completely privately funded operation, and we're funded by what we call mission specialists who help support the mission. So they take quite a bit of money to come and join us. Years ago, Russians took tourists out to the Titanic, and it was just sort of a look and see thing. We really are focusing on the science around it. We want to document what.
Yeah, I don't want to be paying $250,000 to be just dropped 2,000 feet into the ocean. Number one, two, and it's a 2.5 hour dive. That you're submerging for 2.5 hours, 2 to 2.5 hours, to, just to get to the Titanic.
I can't imagine the pressure. Oh,
yeah. Yellow Sea average. What are we looking
at? Where it
this is.
Is
how deep it is. Okay.
Yeah, like the Titanic wreckage is sitting on the ocean floor about 12,500 feet below sea level.
It's insane.
Oh my God. Eiffel Tower. Oh, that's Lake Superior. Okay. Red Sea.
I don't have the patience to watch this go all the way down. Can't you just show us where it's
apparently.
Oh,
it's going to speed up.
That's insane.
Oh my God. Titanic, 3,700 meters.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
No.
Honestly, I'm reading about it on Twitter right now. Apparently, one of the people on there is a 19-year-old kid.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's the son of...
How the hell did he afford 250?
A billionaire son.
Billionaire son.
Wow.
Yeah, one of the richest Pakistani families.
Oh, my God.
No.
That would be sheer death. I'm a little bit, you know, like claustrophobic already.
Claustrophobic.
But being underwater.
Hopefully they figure it out. Hopefully they figure it out. And it's
I would not run out of air. I would have a heart attack before.
As of yesterday, they only had 40 hours of air left.
Yeah. So as of 33 minutes ago, they have 38 minutes ago, they have 20 hours from now.
Which is still almost a full day, right?
20 hours. And they do have something that's getting sent down right now, a remote control vehicle en route to the area above the Titanic wreckage. They find they can haul it to the surface.
They must be hung up on something. Or
maybe some underwater sea fucking monster ate them or something.
Nessie.
No, no.
Nessie. Loch Nessie.
Like that is down in where we don't see those creatures on this earth at all down there.
Oh, man.
See, but that's why, like my comment before, ocean or space. I would take ocean.
I'd take space.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to floating and fucking out. Pardon the language.
No.
Floating in outer space by yourself. Like
that would be so cool.
E.T. drives.
You'd feel like one of the universe rather than one of I'd be like a Marvel superhero. Who knows? Maybe you get hit by some cosmic
ray.
What's
the one TV show on Apple TV Plus? For All Mankind.
Never heard of it.
Like,
good?
Oh, just drifting in space.
Yeah. No. No,
Concord's coming back, eh?
I did a dive when I was in Mexico this past October. And first time I'd done a dive in like 15 years. And I'm talking it was like 10 meters. What would that be? Like 35 feet, something like that? Like at both
33 feet.
Yeah. So about 10 meters, 12 meters. And I was losing my mind. Like I don't do the pressure that well. So
you go to the bottom,
I can't
deep
even
in a pool and feel it, you know, like you feel it just going down.
That's it.
10 feet.
Yeah.
No.
One of my buddies was an underwater welder.
That's dangerous stuff.
It's good money.
Big money.
Yeah.
If you love it and you're good at it, like it makes some very good coin.
Yeah.
What happens when they got to go electric for the welders, though? That's not going to do too good.
Yeah.
Save the universe.
Do you guys hear the Concorde's coming back?
Like the plane?
Our version? Yeah. Supersonic flight?
Oh, yeah. Because a lot of people don't know that Canada used to have the fastest plane in the world at one point until, right? The aero, that it got... got canceled. It got gassed. The
Concorde did.
Huh?
Concorde did in 2003. There was a crash. There was debris on a runway and ended up shooting up and hitting the wing, and that was it.
I was thinking of the Avro. I was thinking of the Avro. The Avro.
You can actually hear right now. They've got the audio of them knocking on the walls of the ocean gate.
Really?
Just trying to make noise, right? So they can be found.
Oh my God, I'm sick.
Collins is in the rabbit hole right now.
100%.
No, I haven't really read about it at all. Like, it's just,
oh, Oh, I don't know. I don't know. No. Collins is on his way to Titanic himself there in that dive.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just reading it right now.
Huge. Supersonic.
Crazy when we get fascinated. Although somewhere else in the world, they say someone like 700 people just died on a boat capsizing, and yet we're obsessed with five people in a submarine.
It's always money or
flavor of the moment, right? Like
that attract the news story.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Especially nowadays, it's
all Twitter though.
Like, second buzz, just, right?
Twitter's all over.
Second buzz.
It's crazy.
So let's move on. We've got another topic. Like Trevor, you in our group chat, you shared the most recent statistics for the unemployment rate in Canada. You want to go off of that first, and then we can kind of expand on it.
I don't remember sharing the actual rate, but what we ended up losing, what, 17,000 net jobs last month?
Your article that you posted. Yeah. Only unemployment numbers are starting to rise just in the last month. So May of 2023.
Oh yeah. There we go. That is the article.
0.2%. It went up by 0.2%. So
StatsCan.
That just goes to show you.
Yep.
It is starting to perk, you know, to go to work.
Well, it goes to show you that last interest rate was not necessary. It's just a sledgehammer they're putting down on the market. To me, it's the timing. The timing is for real estate right now till about middle of August, it dies anyways. It's just everybody's not attention on that. It's barbecues and sports and cottages. Nobody really pays attention to real estate. So they rise it, you know, June 8th, July 12th. We come back, the market starts to pick up a bit, or they'll drop it then to take credit for it.
No, they won't be dropped.
You don't think they'll drop it at all? September?
No, not. I doubt by the end of the year now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're, you know, a lot. There was a handful of economists that were saying expect interest rates to drop Q4 to Q1. I don't think we're going to see Q4 anymore.
I was expecting Q4.
Nope, not Q4.
What do the Fed say today?
The Fed is on a pause right now. They paused for the month. But for our listeners or viewers, the Fed is the Federal Bank of the United States. So the Federal Reserve, sorry. So they have taken a pause.
Today, eh? It was last week.
Oh, last week.
Yep.
Glad they
You cut out there, Curry. You cut out there.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, just for a quick second.
I'm glad they took a pause because hopefully Canada follows suit. And I'm desperately hoping that the U.S. economy drastically slows down to the point that the Fed has to cut. And if the Fed cuts, then hopefully Canada will cut too to keep competitive. That's the biggest thing that I'm looking at right now and just really following the numbers. As of this morning, I mean, the markets did open up. It was only 0.4% on the S&P 500 this morning. However, which is all good. I do think we're still at the beginning of a bull market. Everyone has to remember that I think it was around the high on the S&P was 4,800 points.
You figure we're close to a bull right now?
I think we're on the beginning.
Back bull?
I think we're on the beginning of a bull market. I think we're going to have some volatility for the next 6 to 12 months. And, you know, up and down, up and down. But now's a great time to invest because you have to remember the market exits a bear market 3 to 6 months before the economy exits a recession. On it, like it's a ballpark, right? So,
are we in a recession yet, though?
And we have not had Canada
two has, successive.
We have not had two consecutive quarters of GDP contraction.
No,
they can argue that they think the U.S. is in a technical recession, but we have to wait. We won't know until August when they release the Q2 numbers.
And remember, our Q1 numbers were 3.1. So we were
up. We were up.
So part of that's part of the June rate increase. Right. So that was a factor that they put into the June rate increase. But here's a beauty for you. So Bank of Canada's only tool in helping curb inflation is by raising rates. Shouldn't say it's their only tool. It's their key tool.
It's the only one they use.
That they use, right?
Yeah.
But this, like, it's been echoed on social media a lot. You literally can't make this shit up. You've got the Canadian government with extremely aggressive immigration targets. Canada hit a population of 40 million people last week.
That's Friday.
Yep. Here's the icing on the cake. New construction, new housing starts are down by 23%.
100%.
Yeah.
Where are people going? If we have no houses to put people in, why are we? And don't get me wrong. Like, I don't want anybody to think that I'm hating on immigration. We need immigration. Immigration 100%. Is extremely important to our economy, to our growth, to Canada's future.
I read about
it. And we have a fabulous country we want to share.
I heard 1.4 million, like I think the last year, and they're expecting 2.5 million over the 2 years of immigrations to Canada.
Oh, yeah.
And the housing starts are like 265,000 houses.
No, down to 211.
Jesus. And I can see why. Honestly, me and my partner are like, oh, my God. With the one municipality we're fighting with, right? We're done building that municipality. It just, they are not working with us at all. And they should be asking us, what more can we do to help you? And since we're on that rabbit hole right now, Brandon knows how I like the bitch. Right now, the biggest fight we had is on parkland dedication fee. And those who don't know that, it's cash in lieu for cities when you're building that the builder has to give 5% on the value of the land. All right. The problem is we're fighting right now. They want appraised value. So our people bought from the developer at a reasonable rate that was kind of parallel to all the other lots in the area. This city said, no, we need a bank appraisal or a certified appraisal. They bought at 140, showed all the comps in the area that closed at about 140 to 110, found comparables on the market at 250 and appraised the land at 250. Another $5,000 went to this city, plus the cost of the appraisals. Let me tell you what the appraisal cost came in at. We got three quotes for appraisals for parkland dedication fee, where the appraiser does not need to leave their chair. We had quotes of $1,850 in 5 weeks, $1,250 in 4 weeks, and $350 in 1 week. Which now, that cost, whatever one they chose, maybe they didn't drive around, gets passed on to the buyer, and the $5,000 extra for the appraisal that in my mind was showing what market value was, but you can buy lots off the market, which aren't inflated slightly by real estate fees, right? Trying to get top dollar. And that added. So really $5,350 added onto the buyer.
So when what I'm so confused by that is if I have a contractual purchase and sale agreement to buy a piece of land, how is the reality?
What if you have an arm's length transaction? What if your parents sell you a lot of land for a buck? City's not going to charge you 5% of a buck.
Well,
for,
no,
right?
But it's the same type of thing where you've got when you're if you buy a vehicle from a dealership, that is enough to satisfy the MTO for the tax obligation. If you buy a vehicle privately, it is the greater of the contractual amount, the receipt, or the blue book value.
Well, then the greater could be appraisal or the actual deed.
But the point I'm making is this is an arm's length transaction. It's not a family member selling it to an individual for a dollar. It's a corporation selling it to a consumer.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not satisfactory enough to satisfy the fee requirement?
And especially in this case, because they are not building any more parks in this municipality. So it's straight cash in lieu, which they're saying they're using for landscaping materials and stuff like that. And then they take the credit for all the stuff they're doing for the city when it's really the builders or the homeowners building for themselves who are tax-paying residents that should be applauded more than anything. But it's a $5,000 cash grab that they're trying to make housing more affordable, yet they keep adding stuff like this on.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Municipal consent went from 150 last year just to cut curbs to 330 in 1 year without a public, no, just we're changing it. And then on top of that went to $1,000 deposit. Even better than this. Picture this, you're a developer, right? You develop 200 lots in this particular municipality. You want to know, call me. I'll tell you everything about it. Not do it online for lawyer purposes. Say you construct and develop and grow that city by building 200 lots, right? If you connect it to water when you service it, there's a new tax that they just put out that about $1,100 a year, when connected to water, you have to pay. So if you have 200 lots now serviced with water connections, that's another $200,000 a year you got to give to the city. That just popped up this year out of nowhere.
Anyone who owns the land.
If you own the land.
So if I go to that municipality and I buy a piece of land and I connect myself to water,
But if you buy a developed lot, you're the developer. Now you just passed on $200,000 to that developer a year for lots. What developer is going to want to build there now?
But what I can't get my head around is, so that means if my tax bill, let's say, is $300 because it's a vacant land,
yeah,
and now I get connected to water services, my tax bill instantly becomes $1,300 a year?
No, it's a separate tax that if you're connected to water, I can read it actually. It's great.
Is it a one-time tax, Jeff?
It doesn't sound
like it. It's yearly.
Annual.
Yearly.
Like how does that?
So like a water supply fee kind of deal.
Well, remember
over and above the.
Bullshit cash grab fee on top. Like I don't know why they beat around the bush and put some nice ribbons on it. They should just say, how can we gouge anyone building? Because they're getting crushed already. I'll see if I can find it. Keep talking. I'll find it. To whom it may concern, notice of vacant land charge addition. The city has completed an audit of all vacant properties that directly abut a water and or wastewater line. As per bylaw, blah, 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 in 21, vacant land properties adjacent to these lines are subject to an annual fee of $1,002.38 annual fee. It is identified that the above noted property should have been charged the vacant land wastewater charge annually. This fee has been added to the tax account effective 2023. However, the tax account has not been billed retroactively for the previous year because we're so good to you. Please contact the tax department if you have any questions.
So yeah.
So now, are you paying it once though on the whole thing?
Annually.
Like, I mean, you pay annually every annually though, but on the whole block.
No, because that's one parcel of land. So if you've got a 7-block, but if you've made all individual lots and you have 200,000 or 200 service lots, which is coming up, that's $200,000 a year.
Yes, but then the homeowner's got to pay it, right?
Whoever owns the land. So until they sell it, but as soon as it's serviced, you don't sell them until they're serviced.
Somebody's paying it.
It's cash grab.
The developer is going to turn around and pass that cost on to the eventual purchaser.
But he can't do that until it's changed hands, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I get that. But I, even from the perspective of if the developer is putting out $200,000 a year for these 200 lots, well, that means every one of those lots is going to go up by an equal percentage to cover that extra, like, because this developer has.
Sure. He's not going to eat the cost.
Exactly. So
no, he probably is going to eat the cost because the market's going to dictate if he eats the cost or not. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he may eat the cost.
No, like as much as we say on our townhouses right now that we're selling, we're just going to pass it on to the buyer. But if the buyer's not paying that price and it's not sold, guess what? We got to drop.
You're eating it. But
you're not carrying them for tons of time,
right? Hopefully you're not.
But what's going to happen, though, is, okay, you're sitting on a bunch of built properties right now, and your money is tied up in those properties.
Mm-hmm.
you're okay. At a certain point, do you lower the price down a little bit? Do you not? Do you keep it high? The point being, you're not building anything more.
Well,
while
that,
you hold
that's
on
the
to
problem
that
that's hitting on the market right now with Canada, like you started, is those builders are going to sit on what they got and not continue to build anything until it sells.
Yeah.
And they're not selling because the interest rate keeps going up. So everybody with money's pausing to see what happens, and they just sit there stagnant. So all the builders are on pause and they're holding their line on the prices because if they sell less, they're eroding the profits to a place where they can't run a business anymore.
Well, and not only that, you have builders that have pre-solds from 3 years ago because they needed to get, you know, they built a complex that has, I don't know, 60 units in it. Yeah. They had to sell 40% of those to get construction financing in place. So they had the pre-sales already in place. They can't go 2 years later, 3 years later now and start selling those properties at the ones that aren't sold yet at a discount.
Well, you can because you got legal obligations, but buyers that bought are going to lose their freaking minds,
and
right?
That's exactly what is happening in areas like Milton, right? I'm pretty sure it's Mattamy Homes.
Unfortunately, for those people who did that, it's speculation. So when they buy pre-construction, their speculation, it goes up quite a bit. They can sell it before that, assign it, whatever you want to do. But if you want to live by that law, you got to live by the fact that guess what? When you're speculating and it goes down, you're eating it and you're not walking back on that, right? Well, and they can fight and whine and cry and bitch and moan and all they want. You think the builder wants to go for less than that? Hell no. You know? But it's a matter of either staying in business or going out of business at that point. Cash flow is a bitch as a builder, and interest rates go up and you're on variable. Whoo!
And most construction financing is variable. Period.
But not all.
Pretty much.
No, when you're getting
unless you structure.
Well, if you get into fixed, sure. It's but
why would you fix on a build though, unless it's a long term?
Well, and see, here's the big thing too. Builders are looking like we talked earlier, you're probably seeing interest rate drops finally, maybe quarter one next year, right? So a lot of those projects you can hold on and hold off to sell, and they might have a lot in their back pocket that they're building and specking, but as the interest rates go up, it's the cash flow gets difficult. But stuff that's completed, it's got to go, right? Like it's just got to go for it.
Yeah, I can't sit on.
So every time it does this, you're like, oh my god! Like you are just crushing this need for home that's out there. Every builder and developer right now just basically paused.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, all smart money is pausing right now.
So what should they do? Should they raise this HST rebate that's a measly $24K back for a builder? Raise it, make it 40. You know. I'm giving you $90,000 in HST and you rebate back $24,000 after fighting for years to get it. You want to get it, give them some kind of feedback there so they get a little bit of a because it's money they're making regardless, right? It's almost like a capital gain for the country because they're only making money on what they're paying.
Plus they're getting the tax on the land transfer, right? Every time you transfer a property, they make a land transfer tax.
Plus, they get parkland dedication, which is 5%. The funny thing is 5% parkland dedication fee. Just eat it. You can't say nothing about it. You just got to enjoy. What's commission on a house typically? 5%. End of the world. Yeah. Let's just throw that on parkland dedication fee, cash in lieu.
Now.
Can't do nothing. Won't even give you a permit.
If you walked outside in a windy day with your wallet or your purse open and all your money flying around, you'd have to try and find other ways to get money too, Jeff, right? That's what the government did, man, during the pandemic. Oh, it's windy out here.
Well, the problem is,
and then they're trying to collect money now
economy was propped up on real estate for the first 2 years of the pandemic, right? That's how we survived basically with real estate and all that. And now
real estate, regardless of COVID, real estate is a driving force in our economy.
Mm-hmm. It's a massive driving 100%. Force.
Yeah.
I mean,
primary driving force.
You take out these record profit grocery profits and you take out the carbon tax and all that. How bad is inflation?
Yeah, but they already, so when we're talking the consumer price index, we already strip out like we go core inflation, right? So energy cost is out, food cost is out. We don't keep that in the actual calculations. But the key is housing cost is part of core inflation. And the reason we saw inflation last month go from 4.3 to 4.4, primary driving factor is mortgage payments. Yeah. Mortgage payments, rental cost, everything is up because interest rates are up. So how is that formulate part of the decision to raise rates? It just doesn't make any sense.
No. As we sit right now, still not in a recession from what I understand, right, Curry?
No.
Canada's still holding strong.
Talking to people you know, though, as far as their spending habits go and all that, a lot of people are changing the way they're spending money right now.
100%.
My mind, we're in recession. Forget the numbers and all that. My mind, we're in recession.
Well, if everybody pulls the rope in the same direction, we might be able to avoid it, mm-hmm. right? So, but we also have to have the government pulling that rope too, right?
And this is what really irks me is, to your point, basically the government will refer to it as misspent, right? They went hog wild. They kept interest rates low. We're like, hey, we're going to spend like crazy too. Then the onus is put on us that we better pull the reins in because the government's not going to do it.
Right.
Right. So now we're obligated. We start cutting back. And if you guys remember last year when they started to raise rates, the quantitative tightening didn't start until they started to raise rates on consumers, but pulled out the quantitative easing. They didn't start doing the tightening until I think they made the first increase in March, and the tightening didn't start until May for the government. Why? We didn't get any notice as consumers, but the government got 2 months notice that this is going to start to happen, right? Basically, it was just at that point, they're going to, what was it? They were going to stop buying bonds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was what it was. So.
So how do we get out of this, boys? How does this crap all end finally?
Honestly, it's going to.
Take job loss?
I hear Panama's a great place to live. Really, if Philippines, I'm pretty sure you can rent a place for $150 a month.
Belize.
Right?
Thailand's cheap. Belize, yeah.
I mean,
Belize is a beautiful country. Like,
for me, honestly, it's I am hoping and praying for some sort of recession so that we can stop this interest rate increase and start decreasing. We need to give people a break. And
you're just crushing people right now.
You're just absolutely slaughtering people right now. It's not
2-4.
Well, and if you look from a build standpoint or developer standpoint, that's a lot of economy that it generates, right? As far as jobs and that, they stop. There's going to be a lot of people that are hurting.
Well, when you've got, it's called the working poor, right? So basically these people are making, let's say, 20 to 25 bucks an hour, which, you know, let's say 5 years ago was a great paying job, 50 grand a year, 60 grand a year, let's say, with overtime. And I don't know how they're surviving. I've got no idea how they're surviving. So
especially you got someone who's working hard, finally got that house during the first 5 years, you know, values are up a little bit, and now your interest rate makes your payments go up $1,500 a month.
Yep.
You can't do nothing. You stay at home, you work, you know, like you work, go home, work, go home, work, go home. Can't do nothing with the family or nothing.
Eat out maybe once a week, once every 2 weeks.
Can't even eat out anymore. Eat out at Harvey's for four people. That's, family that's why $65. Go to the movies pizza. Now. Well, pizza's gonna be the number one sales around because that feeds a family for $25.
That's why, you know, I'm sure you guys have seen like memes or, you know, shorts about the joke on, you know, it's no longer 69 because of inflation. The cost of eating out is now 96. Seen that joke? No, you haven't seen that.
We don't talk about jokes like this in this podcast.
Only you do.
No, only you do.
No.
No.
Yeah, well, OSFI, I think, increased the stability buffer? Or they're going to increase it by November?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my strong belief, based on what I'm smelling, is by Q4, they're going to report a recession from Q2, Q3, technical recession. And they're going to then adjust the interest rates accordingly.
What are they going to be back to? They're going to be back to what they just went up from? That's it?
No.
They'll drop a quarter point.
They'll drop a quarter point.
I think
Well, they'll go up another quarter, and then they'll go down a quarter, and then they'll go down a quarter. Yeah. So they'll be exactly where we were before.
I think we're going to end up, once all the dust is settled, I think we're going to be back to that, you know, in the 3 to 4% range, somewhere in there.
I think the worst thing going for us right now is we're so far from an election that we're in no man's land right now. So he just wants to do whatever the hell they want to do.
Okay, so sure, we are far from an election, but keep in mind that Canada's largest trade partner is really close to. They're in primary. Well, come August, primary season starts in August, right?
Right.
So U.S. presidential ticket next November.
And the biggest thing is going to be interest rates, probably for both Canada and United States at that point.
Yeah, all the primaries.
There's going to be that. There's going to be electronic vehicles, right? EV.
Speaking of electric, my new hybrid, it's the weirdest thing when it just, you're driving down the road, cruising, all of a sudden the gas turns off and it's just, you watch the tach drops to zero, the oil pressure drops to zero, the gas meters drop into zero, like the how much gas it's using. And then you just watch the electric motor ramp up and just cruise down the road.
Have you noticed the difference in your wallet for gas?
Yes. Yeah. Obviously, I'm still in the middle of the break-in period. Like, I've only got 1,000 kilometers on the truck. But right, first tank of gas, 5 liters per 100 kilometers savings.
Nice.
So, and you've got a hybrid, right?
Yeah.
Nice. I still got to see it. And what's Trudeau doing with these battery plants, sir?
Saving the world. He's saving the world, Bond.
You're talking about the Volkswagen one, or are you talking about...
There's one in Welland coming, a battery plant. Or battery components.
Battery components. But there was supposed to be two of them, I thought. One in St. Thomas and one, was it near Tecumseh or Windsor area?
Yep.
Now, is that Trudeau or is that Ford?
It was both.
From what I understand,
I heard they vacation together now. They love each other.
Botched the Windsor one.
Say whatever you want sometimes, eh?
They're like Tommy Boy with
Trudeau
rubs his belly. Rubs Ford's belly.
So basically, you've got the federal government that I guess promised the world to the Volkswagen, which and the Parliamentary Budget Office just came out and said that if everything goes according to forecast, it's going to be way more money than what they initially told everyone it would cost.
Like 17 billion.
Yeah, it's going to be, they initially like it was that, be 13. Right? They said, 13 billion. It's going to be well north of that. And then the other company down in St. Thomas, I forget what number that, what company that's called, I forget right now. They basically halted construction and basically said, wait a second, you guys haven't followed through on your end of the bargain, federal government. And so that's...
Oh, I thought it was the other way around. I thought the one in Tecumseh was the one, or the one in Windsor that was halted, and the one in St. Thomas was still...
The Volkswagens, wherever Volkswagen is, that's go. It's the other one that was already in construction. And I forget the name of the company right now.
Yeah. Crazy, though. So that now is that's it? That's it? Done? That one's not going ahead anymore?
They're negotiating right now. I know the province came back and said that we'll do what we did with Volkswagen. But, you know, the problem that we're running into is that still currently we do not have the infrastructure in North America to sustain the amount of electric cars that they want on the road by 2030, 2035. It's just not even close. Forget about the fact that we still haven't developed the Ring of Fire up north. And because of that, we still don't have enough raw materials in the world to supply these battery plants. Even Tesla, which owns pretty much their supply chain, is
having... Don't we have like $6 billion worth of graphite in Welland right now?
I don't know.
They just open up the mining company, which is like one of the crucial components for these things. That's what's going on along Canal Banks there. They figure they got to $7 billion worth of graphite.
Where
is it, Jeff?
Ontario Road in Welland and along the Canal Banks there. It's all getting dug up. It's a big mining process they're doing there. But they figure they have $6 to $7 billion worth of graphite, which is what they need for the batteries. In Welland.
I did hear that Welland was getting some spin-off industry from it, but the battery stuff. But if they're making that much money,
Welland, then Welland should have all their roads paved gold or something with, you know, that kind of cash. Jeez. But they're saying it's a huge find. That was like all the leftover spillage from the previous Atlas Steels, whatever. They kept dropping in the ground for like 100 years. Sold it cheap. It's worth $6 to $7 billion. Some company took it.
No way. Yeah.
They're in the process of getting ready to start milling it and everything, or like to start mining it and everything. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. It's good for Welland.
Well, we'll see.
It's awesome.
Does Welland benefit from it, or does the company who owns land benefit from it, right? I'm sure they're going to put extra permits and shit on there.
I'm sure there's a tax base. Dude, you know that, right? Welland's going to get some money somewhere.
The company will get the brunt of it, but Welland will get some of it too.
Yeah, property tax.
You're going to get employees. You're going to get the industry, right? Like, can't think individualistically, right? Like, it's a...
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens there. Honestly, Welland's one of the best run build departments out there, so I'm happy with them.
Yeah.
Bondo, you had you also had a couple topics that you wanted to chat about or to chat about.
No, I think I've kind of threw them in there throughout the throughout the course of our discussions. Wimbledon's coming up, right? I love tennis.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I love tennis.
I
just nobody to play with down here that I know of.
Well, we don't play tennis anymore. It's pickleball, buddy. Pickleball.
Yeah, I've never played pickleball.
I want to go one day. I want to try that. I heard it's
I'll go.
They have a pickleball thing right down at the new parks over by Welland. I'm dying to try it. Have you ever done it,
Lindy? Yeah, I'll give it a go.
That's supposed to be the biggest trend. Pickleball.
Pickleball.
No. Nope. What's the floor?
I've played it, but I haven't played it in years and years and years and years.
Never played. I've seen it being played in Florida. But...
Trev, I've got a question that where are we at loosening up the mortgage stress test? Have you heard anything?
Nope.
Crickets, eh?
Nope. And I don't think
to stay or what?
Yep.
Forever. Or until election year.
It's a buffer, right?
No, it'll go beyond an election year. Why? They don't. OSFI doesn't feel they broke.
Canadians.
OSFI has done their job, right? Essentially, like this was their idea to implement it.
It worked.
Yes.
Now the market's dead.
But in their mind, it isn't, because it's still moving and shaking and. Things are still progressing.
Interesting thing. There was a lot on Foss Road. $499, basically a teardown house. And it had a garage that needed like a new concrete floor on it. But it was a teardown house that maybe you could turn into something. But it was 10 acres.
How close was it to the golf course on Foss?
I don't think there's a golf course on Foss.
Lookout kind of runs to Foss, does it not?
20 offers.
Wow.
And what was the list price?
$499 is $100,000 below what list should have been on it.
So $20 worse.
Do we know what
it's
sold for?
Don't know what the price is yet because it's firm. This is the problem I have with it, though, because one of my clients wanted it. I know a couple of people who wanted it. You've got a septic system in there. You got 20 offers. Do you think the winner can get a inspection on that whatsoever?
No.
No chance.
No.
So you're buying that, whatever, it's $50,000. So in the grand scheme of things, $500,000. $600,000 plus is where it went without a doubt. No inspection. I'd love to catch that owner though, or agent, knowing there was a problem with it and try to bury that with a low price point. Latent defect. I would nail him to the wall.
Here's the thing. A lot of people don't understand. And Trevor reminded me the other day. And then it just further came up in conversation when Josh and I were up at his cottage talking to your neighbor. Remember that?
Yeah,
and he's trying to sell this population. So I was just innocently talking to Trevor the other day, and he just reminded me, and a lot of people forget about this, any price point at $1 million or higher
requires a 20% down payment.
Minimum.
So minimum.
There's a lot of lenders that have tiered loan.
Yeah, everything over a million, you got to put 20% down, right? Not below the million. So if you're 1.2, you do 5% of the million and then 20% of the 200?
No.
20%
of
the total.
$999,999, you can get away 5%. Not 5% because it's over 500,000. So the on a $999,999 home, the minimum down payment requirement is $74,999.99. Okay. Soon as the price point goes to $1 million, $200,000 minimum down. Instantly.
And then they sometimes stagger it. So if you get to 1.5, then you've got to pay
but,
more.
But honestly, yeah, in this market, how many people are buying $1 million houses and not putting down this $200,000?
No, but here's the thing.
Usually a second or third house, though.
But you have no choice.
I know.
What if you're going through a separation, right? You're selling your property. You don't have 20% anymore, but you have the income to support it.
Right.
Right? Like even so, you guys all know Jacqueline. So Jacqueline and her husband bought a property last year and they were going to do some renovations. Well, the property was in the nines, the renovations. And Jacqueline had asked me the question, hey, you know, we're going to pay for some of these renos out of pocket. What should we do? And I said, get a second quote, right? So if one quote is to keep it under the million and then get the second quote for the work that you're going to pay out of pocket, because as soon as you show the lender that you're doing all of this work, even if you're paying for part of it, it's now an uninsurable mortgage. It's north of a million and your down payment jumps instead of 75 grand becomes 200.
And so when we were saying this to Josh's neighbor, he's selling his principal residence and it's like, how many acres, Josh? It's like listed for 3.6 million or something like that.
No, he said like 6 million or
6
something.
6 million, though. Something. Like anyway,
8,000 square feet or something.
Like he's got this. So these buyers are coming in on like helicopters and stuff, like, because they're ultra wealthy and he's wherever he is, that's the going rate. And we just said the irony.
He's not talking about the property that he owns next door to me.
No. And the irony, not the cottage. No, this is principal residence where he is from. And we just said, because of the 20% down payment, the pool of people that are buying the $6 million property are the same pool of people that are buying the $1 million plus property, because they're the only people that have $200,000 or more to drop on a down payment and can afford the mortgage payments.
Okay. So, but let's just be clear here on that $1 million property, or excuse me, $6 million property. Let's see.
That's an insane amount of money.
The 300, your minimum down payment on a 6 million. So like lenders, a lot of them, you can be around like $1.5 million that they'll do 80% loan to value on. Some are like 1.2, 1.25. So I'm juicing it a little bit. I'm making it 1.5 million. So $300,000 down on the 1.5, and then the additional amount over 1.5. So 4.5 million in this case will be at 50% loan to value. So that means somebody to buy this $6 million property, they're only getting, they need 2.85 million down divided by 6 million, puts it at a 47.5% loan to value.
And that's why he was suggesting that people are looking for a VTB.
Yeah,
right?
Correct.
Vendor fee. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's no other way to do it.
Well,
right?
Like, I mean, I don't have,
but
that in pennies put away. Well,
so like, here's the thing, right? I mean? When the government implemented this uninsurable, this $1 million threshold, the average home price was like in Canada wide was, I don't know, 500 grand, something like that.
Yeah, about that.
How long ago was it, Trev?
When they implemented that $1 million threshold, this one, that change would have been 09? January 2018, I believe.
28, yeah.
18? Yeah, I believe it was I believe that one was January 2018. Or no. Sorry, that one was the stress test for all. That change would have been November 30th, 2016. Yeah, that one's okay. Back to 2016.
So, and then, yeah, what you're saying is the average home price then was around 500,000. What is it now?
8.7, I think, 750. Yeah.
So, and this is the point, like in Niagara, I mean, you know, you're looking at which used to be a cheaper market or a suppressed market. You know, you're now having like to get a home under 500,000, you're not doing it. Well, you're $750,000, $800,000 average.
Like you think about it too. So see, here's some interesting numbers. Like, you know, I got started January 2008 in the business. At that time, realistically, you were probably like here, especially here in Niagara, three, maybe four times your salary maximum for a purchase price on a house. Right. Look at it now. Yeah. What is it? 7-8 times, sometimes 9 yeah. times your salary. And yeah. if people don't realize, like with the stress test and the raising of interest rates, like it has crushed our overall affordability. Like, yes. And that's everybody across the board, whether you're a repeat buyer or a first time buyer, we have all been knocked down.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
There's
everybody that's in the game
or those trying to get in the game
or those trying to get in the game.
Yeah. Right.
Some of those trying to get out of the game. Like it's,
yeah.
It's an FUBOC yeah. kind of day, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know how this ends. I don't know how this ends, to be honest.
Did I raise up the OSFI bump in the stability rate
yes.
buffer?
Yeah, you did mention that. Okay. So okay. Basically, all that to anybody listening, watching, all that means is that OSFI is basically mandating that financial institutions have a buffer. An increased buffer of capital on hand to offset losses. That's essentially what it is, right? So if they needed, for every 100,000 they lend out, if they needed 300,000 on reserve, now it's going to be 350,000 on reserve. Very layman's terms, high level kind of how it's structured. And it just
setting them, trying to set them up for well, more cash in the coffers for a rainy day, which may be coming soon.
Okay. But here's the thing. You got to think about it from this perspective. If you think that rates are going to come down and you're requiring financial institutions to have a larger buffer, their cost of funds is going to go up.
Yeah.
So it's not actually help. We have too many people on too many levels, from municipalities to provincial to federal organizations, that give the impression they're doing something. It's a good idea on paper, right? Like yeah, I often have conversations with lenders that, where did this condition come from? Well, our legal department thought it was a good idea. Great. Black and white law, it's a good idea, but where's the gray? Right? Because we...
Does it make sense here?
Correct. Yeah. Right? Like, there's no... you add a condition that, from a legal standpoint, protects people the way it's supposed to, but it's not a practical application.
Nothing the government does is practical these days, buddy.
No, I
never at every level.
No, I mean, I hate feeling like naysayers, right? I mean, I'd rather be uppity. But I mean, it's just a little bit of a lull right now, right? And a little bit of the unknown, right? Everybody's uncertain still, right? And coming out of a pandemic when we were all uncertain, now you know, in terms of whether, you know, is the world
the biggest pain for the seizing pandemic up here? Is now the financial strain, right?
Well, now it's the financial, right? Now it's a financial squeeze coming out of that pandemic. So I just want a little bit of, you know, everybody needs a little bit of normalcy. Hopefully that's coming within the next couple of quarters.
Wishful thinking, man.
Yeah, I know. I try to be optimistic.
100%. Even in the face of shit. I feel the same way, right? Like, it's, I try to be, there's so much negativity out there that I try and look at the positive side of things. I'm going to try and bring the positivity into the mix. But when you're getting beat down every day and like having to be the bearer of bad news, like the amount of private mortgage conversations I have to have now, like, and it's like, Mr. and Mrs. Client, there's fees.
Yeah.
Right? There's this, there's that. There's
it's ugly. Like it's an ugly gig to get into unless you absolutely have to, right?
And it's so expensive.
Yeah. And
that's what I mean, ugly. Ugly and in terms of the expenses, right?
Bad putting somebody into that situation. Like,
what's the alternative, though?
There is no alternative.
Sell the house.
That's the only... But selling the house isn't a viable alternative, right? That's the reality.
We have to buy something shittier, right?
But what are you going to find?
I know.
Well, and the lower you go down in price, the more competitive it gets. Everything under five is like ultra competitive.
Well, it's like a hot potato, right?
It is. It's unsettling just how bad.
Well, it's all government intervention that's creating this unsettlingness, you know? Like, I can't think of how they can't find out a better way to do something here.
You know what the alternative is?
Move to another country?
Anarchy.
No, they got to tax the uber wealthy.
Mm. And then the uber wealthy go to another country and then they lose all those taxes.
Right? That's the problem. It's a fine dance all the time, right?
Uber wealthy will pick which country they want to get taxed in, right? That's the problem.
100%.
And as soon as you do that, they're gone, and then they're farther behind.
See you later.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I'm not sure what the answer is either, right? Like, I mean, these are different possible solutions that they could implement. You know what I mean? They did try to put some form of a luxury tax, which I think was completely bogus.
If you're buying a boat for more than $250,000, yes, you have a luxury tax.
Yeah. Okay.
Right?
That's not going to get us out of any shitty situation. No. You know what I mean? There's not the...
No.
Anyways. Did we lose Curry for the show?
Who knows? Stepped away. Had a bathroom break.
Yeah.
It's okay. He doesn't contribute anything to the podcast anyways, right? So... I wonder if he's going to hear... Well, maybe we'll point out that he should watch the rest of the podcast in...
Ooh, I like that. That looks good. We just got prettier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we just lost Curry. We get the ratings. Watch, sponsors are coming in right now. Ratings going through the roof.
Yeah.
They're all coming
Curry
in.
Curry comes on here and boom.
Yeah.
Gone. Down.
Viewership as well, eh?
Yeah.
Viewership as well.
Yeah. They don't like his other. Ooh. Oh, there he is.
Ratings just tanked.
Oh, look, there it's down.
What happened?
Oh, nothing.
Rookie said our ratings were spiking when you were gone for a couple minutes.
Then. Yeah, we had some sponsorship.
Sponsor inquiries and all this stuff.
And that's just, where that's where happens. You come on. We hung it up happens. On right away. I was saying they didn't like your ugly mug. So.
I know. All right.
I'm tapped out, boys, for this one. I got
lots of water.
More.
Like lots of water.
Well, I think that we'll call it a day then. Hey, Bondo, take us away.
Yeah, thanks, Sink, Lich, Brand Boulevard, your beauties. Help us help you stay informed.
Bye, everybody.
Go Leafs.
Looking to make the most out of this life and optimize your personal wellness? Then check out the Natural Man Podcast. Join me, host Mike C, as we explore all areas of human wellness, physical, mental, and emotional. Learn strategies to optimize your own well-being and be in the driver's seat of your own health. Remember, your doctor works for you. Learn biohacks, neurohacks, ways to improve sleep, and ways to optimize your body and your mind. Check us out on Apple, Spotify, the Fountain app, and at naturalmanpodcast.com.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jagged Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
Hey, 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 hey.
Produced by Cryer Media and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.